Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the iTricks Magic Week in Review. I know it's been a couple of weeks, but hey, couldn't be avoided. We're back. This is Michael Lauk, sitting in the seat of power, and I have a very special guest today. You saw him on America's Got Talent. I've actually known about him for a little bit longer, which I'm going to talk to him about here in just a second. It's Rogue from, I believe he's at his store out there in the New York area. Rogue, are you there?
I'm here. I'm back at home. Today, I'm just relaxing for Labor Day. I will be going to the shop in a little bit to actually renovate. We're doing a big renovation, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I reinvent the store every few years.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, you are one of these people, like I said, I heard about you a while ago, and it was when I was, before I was doing iTricks.
Okay.
I used to do a podcast on martial arts movies called Flying DVDs of Death.
Wait a minute. Is that where I met you?
No, we've never met. We never met.
No, but we spoke.
I don't know that we have even spoke, but...
No, sure, because I used to sell martial art movies in the streets of New York City before I had my magic show. Yeah.
And that's where I first heard of you, is somebody told me that there was a weird place that he would get martial arts movies every now and then was this crazy magic shop.
Yep.
And I was like, well, that just ticks two of my boxes right there. If you have martial arts movies and magic, I'm totally down with that.
Yep. Basically, my magic shop is like my room when I was younger. It has everything that I liked. Martial art movies, magic, toys, of course, and all kinds of practical jokes, costumes, and Halloween paraphernalia.
See, that's awesome. It sounds like one of the coolest magic shops ever. But
I try.
On the flip side, you're kind of hard to track. Like, you know, I'm in St. Louis, so I'm states away from you. And you don't have a big web presence. You don't, you know.
I don't. I'm not very computer savvy. I just like the fact that people could come in and watch me do magic live and then buy the trick afterwards, and I teach them personally. I love that experience.
See, that is great. But without your, you know, having a website and everything, there are things that come across, you know, about
true.
You in the store. There's some newspaper mm-hmm. things. I know we ran Bacardi did a little featurette
yes.
on you. And we put
yes,
that on
was awesome. Nice. That's
yeah.
cool.
And it sounds like you're a real kind of community fixture. I mean, you think that's a fair thing to say?
Definitely. I've been there for, 15 years now.
Man, so mm-hmm. it's always good to hear about a successful, you know, brick-and-mortar magic shop. And, you know, especially one that's not, well, yeah, we're brick-and-mortar, but we have this, you know, we sell on the internet, too. I mean, that's
gotcha.
Awesome.
Actually, as we speak, one of my graphic designers actually designing my website as we speak, actually.
Well, you know, it's...
Yep, so finally I'm going to be, I have a web presence.
Cool.
I mean, I had websites, but they were pretty bad. Like blog sites and, you know, WordPress. But nothing impressive at all.
But hey, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is what it is.
It is. So your store, it's a magic store. It's I can, if I go in, you know, mm-hmm. can I seriously like pick up like, you know, Stephen Chow's Journey to the West and whatever I'm looking for that just, you know, came out from, Kyle Marlette or whatever.
Yes, definitely. You get all the newest releases. You get vintage magic tricks, you know. You know, if you're not into magic, we have jokes. We have Halloween stuff. Like I said, we have spy equipment. It's a great place. But, of course, it's mostly magic, of course.
That's, yeah, mm-hmm. that sounds so cool. And, you know, since we're here, we're on the internet and mm-hmm. and everything. Why don't you throw out the address so people can find you?
Sure. Yeah, it's in New York. It's 85-08 Queens Boulevard, and it's Elmhurst, New York 11373.
All right, so now everybody can find you, and hopefully some people will wander in and say, "iTrick sent them," you know.
All right, that'd be great.
And you can.
But after the renovations, it'll look great.
Yeah. You know what? When you're done, send us some pictures. We'll put them.
I will. I've been taking progress photos because I haven't done like a major cleanup, renovation in probably like 6 years. So the place is like, it's you know, went kind of downhill, you know, dusty, and the products have to be renewed and stuff like that, the packaging and stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be great after it's done.
Cool.
Really, really nice. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people got introduced to you when you were on America's Got Talent recently.
Yeah, that'd be great for me, actually, for publicity-wise.
What? Being on national television was great for publicity?
No. Meaning after that was, you know,
well, yeah, I know.
Tons of people knocking on my door. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, and then we've got a bunch of people who've you know, emailed us and grabbed me on Facebook or whatever and said, "What happened to Rogue?" So happened to Rogue?
I know. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. They emailed me after my performance, and they said that unfortunately there were too many acts this year to choose from, and they couldn't include me in the finals. But they did say that they'll keep me in mind for future appearances on America's Got Talent. So, you know, it's not totally negative.
So
I was bummed out because I had the next couple of acts already prepped up and ready to go, actually.
So that's weird. You got through, but then you just really didn't get through.
Exactly. I even sent them a long email saying that doesn't make sense. And all the judges said yes, so that's not good for, their continuity, and also not good for my credibility. And after I wrote that email, they didn't even respond to that. So I was like, really, like, well, I guess, you know, too busy for that to respond to people.
Hmm.
That's
weird. That's another dimension to the, you know, because there's a whole America's Got Talent debate in the magic community as to whether it's good or bad.
I get mixed reviews, actually. I do.
Well, you know, I think Murray Sawchuk, we've had a few people on who've been on the show, and and then, you know, I'm friends with Smoothini, who is currently a contestant on the show, and
yes, he's still there. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because we're recording on Labor Day, this will probably be out later in the week, and people will know, you know, if he's gone on to the next round, but we don't know yet. And but when Murray
since it's coming out before the weekend, right?
It will probably be out posted like Friday or Saturday. So
nice. Because I'm doing a big show at at one of my friends. He's a DJ at a bar lounge type of thing in Astoria, Queens. And Smoothini might make an appearance if he's still on the show on Wednesday. And he's in New York. He'll make an appearance and do his act on the stage at the lounge.
Awesome.
It'll be me, him, and a couple of other guys, actually.
And that's that'll pretty be cool. Throw that out.
It's Alembi Cafe. I think Alembi Lounge, Alembi, in Astoria. So I don't have the address offhand, but I guess people could Google it. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's 11 p.m. It's going to be nice, a one-hour magic and comedy show.
Yeah, and yep. Smooth is a trip. If you're not familiar with him, except for America's Got Talent, he's a little bit less PG-rated in real life.
Yeah, definitely. I know. He's cool, though. He's cool.
Yeah,
he came out of the shop, actually, a week before he had to do his final act.
Cool.
Cool.
That would be a good show to see you guys. But, you know, like Murray said about America's Got Talent, he's like, just know that, you know, you're there as long as you're useful to them. You know, it's like they're using you, but you're using them, and
true, win-win situation.
That's a paraphrase of what he said, but yeah, you know, and I thought that was a real practical kind of look at it, you know, and you got to admit Murray kind of knows his way around getting on TV and getting publicity. So when he talks about things like that, he's probably worth listening to.
Nice, that's true.
Now let's talk a little bit more about you, because I think most people have seen you let a Spice Girl attempt to staple things to your face.
Yeah.
is that typical Rogue magic, or
It is. I like to shock people. Yes, I do. That's typical Rogue stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you show up to the 7-year-old's birthday party, it's all power tools.
Oh no!
I'm kidding,
no.
Man.
You have a totally different act for kids, actually. Yeah.
Oh, do you perform for kids too?
I do. I love kids shows. Seriously, the looks on their faces—it's incredible. But I do have an edgy kid show. I do have a little bit of fire and flash to my kid show. Yeah, and a lot of innuendos that the kids don't understand, but the adults do.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, my kids show stuff is edgy. It's not, you know, kiddie all the way.
Well, you know, you have a guy with a red and black, you know, basically you have a mohawk, you know, showing up to your kid show. You have to expect a certain level. It's like, this is not going to be, it's not a clown act.
No, not a clown act, no.
But what kind of work? I mean, do you do birds? Do you do?
Yes, I do. I produce doves. I produce fish, bunny rabbits. I do a little bit of fire, like I said, flowers, silks, levitations. I do, sideshow stuff like the Ebola Brothers and Nail and Nose, you know, all that stuff. You know, a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
Yep.
That's cool.
A little bit of everything.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So are you having any trouble with the animals now? I know we've had some stories about people getting hammered by various agencies and stuff like that. Are you still?
Yes, I've heard of that, but I think I'm lucky. I haven't had anybody knock on my door yet. But, yeah, I've heard that there's a new regulation and you have to have a license, I think, for a bunny rabbit, something like that.
Not only that, you have to have, like, emergency plans.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it actually most of that hit with a guy who's here in on the other side of Missouri, on the other side of the state from me, over in the Springfield area, named Marty Hahn, who the federal government came down and were like, basically what happened is under new regulations, your show animals are considered livestock. You come under the same regulations as, like, ranchers and people with, you know, hog farms and 4,000 chickens, you know. So you have to be able to prove if they want that you have emergency plans and insurances and some weird stuff like that. So.
Oh, wow.
So be ready. Be ready. Watching for the feds to come down on you.
Oh boy, especially after this interview that's going to be aired, no?
Yes, because I'm pretty sure that the NSA is listening to us right now, taking notes.
Well, it is what it is, though.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, on that bit of paranoia, let's don't we take a quick break, and we'll actually do a plug for the animals, and then when we get back, we will talk more about how you ended up in magic and having a magic shop. All right.
This sounds great.
All right. So everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in just a second.
iTricks.com.
Hello, this is Michael again with my little friend Paco. Paco, can you speak? Speak, boy. Come on, speak. Speak. Okay. The one time I want the Chihuahua to bark, he's not actually going to bark. But I'm going to assure you that Paco wishes to join me in urging everyone out there to support your local no-kill animal shelter. Paco has been a part of our family for 8 or 9 years now, and despite the 8 or 9 years of otherwise constant barking, he's been a real important part of the family. And we love the little guy. And there's lots of little guys out there that need your love who haven't done anything wrong except for being born to irresponsible pet owners. So no matter where you live, I guarantee there is a no-kill animal shelter in your area and that they need your help. So if you have time, if you have money, if you have inclination, if you're looking for a great charity, support your local no-kill animal shelter. Thanks. And Paco thanks you too.
And we're back here at the iTricks Magic Week in Review. Thanks for not straying on your podcast dial, if there is such a thing. And we are sitting down this week with Rogue. Rogue, you still there? Did we lose you?
Yes, I am.
All right. Awesome. what I really wanted to kind of talk to you about is, I mean, it's the basic question. It's this question you ask every magician, but, everybody has a story and it's always worth hearing.
Yeah.
How'd you end up here? What got you into magic? Who did you see pull off their thumb that made you go, I need to do that?
Basically, I was 6 years old. I was watching TV and I saw David Copperfield make the Statue of Liberty disappear. And I was fascinated. I was thinking to myself, I was a six-year-old kid, if I could do that, I would want to do that for the rest of my life. So a year or two afterwards, I went to the library, took out a bunch of books. Some of them I didn't even return. And asked my grandfather, my grandparents to buy me magic tricks whenever there was a special occasion, like my birthday or Christmas. And it just built from there. And I would perform for anybody I could, have a chance to perform for, like my parents, my relatives, my friends. I would invite everybody over to the house. I would perform on the street, lay out a sheet. And, performed every chance I got. And then started doing parties, started charging people, like $50. And this took off from there. And then I guess many years after that, I had an idea of opening my own magic shop and training magicians and stuff like that, selling magic to people and getting them interested in magic the way I was interested in it. So it's been a journey.
And you said you've had the shop for about 15 years now?
15 years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, like I said, always good to hear about, magic stores staying open. We talk a lot on the show about how important it is to really be able to go to a magic store. I mean, something I've said more than once is I've never, ever, ever been disappointed with anything I've bought at a magic shop.
Nice. Because that's cool. That's good to hear, actually.
Well, because if you see it demonstrated, you know that no matter how unimpressive it is when that envelope opens or that box pops open, you know what it can do. And then it can't really do that for you. You always have to have that weary eye. Now, we've read some pieces on you over the past couple of years, seen the Bacardi thing. It really seems like your store is more than just a store. I mean, there are guys talking about how you have really changed their lives for the better. I mean, I don't want to make you like, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but I mean, is that?
No embarrassment here.
Are you super, was that part of your vision? Did you like, I want this to kind of be a community, like a it almost sounds like, you have like the Magic Boys Club.
That's exactly what it was. I created a membership, which actually is over 500 members right now. And I wanted a place where people could hang out and to be off the streets. Because growing up, I had no guidance. So I wanted to create that guidance, a place to go to after school and not have to be worried about, bad influences like drugs and gangs and stuff like that. And they actually came to me, a film crew actually came to me a few years ago, actually 7 years to be exact, and they did a documentary about us. It's called Magic Men. It should be released at the end of the year. The guy that did Super Size Me, the producer of that movie, actually saw the rough cut, and he said he wants to produce it. And he's actually also interested in doing a reality show, a spinoff of Magic Men. Basically a story about how three or four guys from the magic shop came when they were like 12, 13 years old. They were, gang member. A couple of them were into drugs. And the magic shop turned their life around. They got off the streets. They learned some magic. And now they're actually superstars in their own right. One of the guys actually travels the world doing magic to underprivileged children all around the world under an organization called Magic Without Borders. Magicians Without Borders, actually. So it's incredible. Yeah.
That is so, you got me speechless almost. Why the hell aren't you on the cover of, magic magazines? You'd think this would be something that everybody in the community, obviously we can be proud of you for that. I guess part of you, from what I'm learning so far, you're just not big on running around talking about yourself like that, though, are you?
I guess not. It'd be, you know what it is? To make a long story short, 2012 was the year that I realized that, I guess I wanted to really get my name out there and to make a name for myself. Because before that, before 2012, I was mentoring people, training people at the shop and selling magic tricks. I was really happy with that, you know, behind the scenes. I wanted to, like, kind of create the next David Copperfield or Chris Angel. And all these kids are looking up to me, and, you know, they all have reached the next level because of, you know, guidance and stuff like that. But I don't know, something happened within me mid-2012. Some of my friends, some of my really good friends, close friends, were like, you know what, you should brand yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know, you could still train your guys and mentor them, but, you know, you should really, really try to get to the next level yourself. And I was a really shy kid. You know, I was a really, like, you know, my self-esteem wasn't that great. So I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. You know what I'm saying? But then, I don't know, I always loved to perform and I always liked to be center of attention. So I thought about it. And, you know, like I said, mid-2012, I started stripping my stuff a little better. I created my new look, you know, with the red streak and the black and red colors for my outfits. And I started branding myself, creating my own magic sets, and marketed my effect, the Haunted Doll. I don't know if you saw it. The little wooden man.
Yeah,
that's mine, actually. And I just found one of my, you know, close friends, actually, to produce it and to do the graphics and to promote it. So, and to make a long story short, you know, I guess a year or two later, I tried out for America's Got Talent. But only because they tweeted me, though. I didn't really want to even do it because I was not really a competitive person. But then I got a tweet from them saying, oh, I think you would actually do pretty well. And I said, okay, whatever. And my fiance was like, you better do it. So I did it. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, you're going to be able, if you're better known, you know, you're going to be able to do more, too, for others.
Exactly. This is true. This is very true. So I would say that nowadays, after 2012, I've been pushing myself more. You know, I've been going out there and searching for things, actually. Last weekend I was helping out an illusionist guy in Atlantic City. You know, just behind the scenes, you know, I was like putting together his illusions and stuff and helping out with his escape. So, you know, even though I wasn't the center of attention, but, you know, he set up on TV, you know, I get to be in the background and get to, learn a little bit more about, you know, grand illusions and escapes and stuff like that instead of just like the small stuff that I do, you know, so that was cool.
Yeah, that's
I'm just trying to get my, face and my name out there right now. That's what I really want to do.
Yeah, and now you've gone beyond just the shop, too. And I think we even had a snippet about it somewhere, or maybe an article. You've got a magic bar going on?
Yes, actually. March of this year, there was the restaurant owner. His name was Sam, actually, and he was an Asian bistro restaurant. He wasn't doing well because, you know, I guess the chefs weren't, you know, that competent and stuff like that, whatever. Anyway, he actually quit his job as an IT specialist, and he, you know, took over the restaurant, but it wasn't doing well, like I said, and he was looking for a way to bring in more business, so he searched for magicians. He thought that maybe, I guess, singers and other things wouldn't be as attractive, so he searched for magicians, and he Googled my name. I came up, and he called me up, and he hired me for some close-up walk-around magic, you know, like on Fridays. I walk around for a few hours, and they kind of brought in some people, and I saw that he had a space on the second floor that was like vacant. So I said, what are you doing with that space? And he goes, I just rent it out occasionally for, you know, party room. And I go, you know what? I really want to open, me and my fiance really want to open a magic bar, a place where you can eat, drink, and watch a show. And The only thing is, I didn't have any revenue. You know, I would be like the brains, and he would be the how do you call it, the finance. So he agreed, and we worked on it, and we did a couple of shows. Didn't really pick up, but now we're reinventing it. It should be open by this Friday. We just got our liquor license like a month ago, and we want to work on a different like magic variety shows every weekend, and even behind the bar. The girls are going to be trained and doing magic and stuff like that at the bar meets and stuff. So it's going to be pretty incredible.
But nice. And yeah. and where is that exactly going to be?
That's 95-25 Queens Boulevard, that's Regal Park, New York, 11374. And it's called the Panda Asian Bistro. And inside we have the Rogue Magic Bar.
Nice. So that's another thing when people are visiting New York, they can look for.
Yes. Yes, I want to actually make it so that it would be like almost like the Magic Castle of New York.
That,
you know, have people hang out, magicians, like a session and stuff like that. I'm going to have like my auctions there. And I have a magic camp once a year at the shop. And the shop is pretty small. It's only like 500 square feet. I want to bring the camp to the bar. They have like 2,000 square feet. So,
right.
Yeah, it's much better.
Right. No. Yeah. That's, you know, that sounds very cool. And it's, you know, anything that's regular. I mean, nothing against guys who are out there working and doing shows and, you know, booking themselves in gigs. But I think any city, you know, any city's magic community will benefit from a magic destination. You know what I mean?
I think so too. You're right. It's a place where they could actually hang out,
right?
And
flip side, where people know if I want to see magic, if I want to, you know, that's where I go. Just like if I want to see comedians, you know,
yes.
Every city has a comedy club or two or ten.
Correct.
You know, and you know where they are, and this will give people and it will, because especially if they're successful, that makes other venues go, oh crap, magic. Why don't we have magic?
Yeah.
and that's what magic needs, is more people going, oh crap, why don't we have magic?
It's true. That's great, actually.
All right. Well, so you really did. You really have kind of decided, like, now it's time for me to blow up. You know, if you're gonna.
Yes, I love it. I really love the spotlight. I love performing, and you know, it's nothing I want more, actually, than to be on a huge stage in front of millions of people. Yeah.
So, are you going to? I mean, because there's two ways to blow up in magic, you know.
Okay.
Honestly, well, there is. Let's break it down. There's two ways to blow up in magic. There's going out and being successful as a performer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To the point where people recognize, laymen, you know, audiences recognize. Because let's face it, there's plenty of guys who make $1 million a year, you know, who people won't recognize because they're trade show guys and things like that.
Exactly. You can underground
make
guys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A handsome living in magic without really, quote unquote, you know, blowing up and having people. So you can go out and
this
you can be, you know, on TV and do, you know, have the big shows and have people recognize you. Or, you can blow up in magic and be like nothing against Michael Amar. I think he's a great guy.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah.
But I'm going to bet that he can walk down the street and nobody goes, "Hey, weren't you on Letterman?"
Right. No, you wouldn't recognize him. That's true.
Exactly. But you get him, you know, within three blocks of a magic store and he's going to get mobbed, you know. Are you going to market more things? Are you gonna push yourself out in the magic community more? Or are you going to focus on being a performer and not worry so much about, you know, how many tricks you have to your credit and all that? Or have you decided? Have you even went?
That's a great question. I think I'm going to reach out and perform for as many people. And I get actually as far as this magic thing will take me, the different countries, different states. But I will never forget about the magic community itself either, because I have a lot of tricks there. I want to market and stuff like that, like stuff that I invented. So Yeah, I think I'm going to just do it all. But I'm going to focus on performing, though. That's my focus. Like I said, to get my time, my own big show, and to really, really amaze people. Yeah. Have people come, you know, over and over again. I'm going to add new things to the show all the time, you know. But, yeah, we have underground projects and stuff like, you know. Yeah. Magic conventions.
Nice.
Definitely.
And I don't mm-hmm. think there's a reason why you can't have it all, honestly.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm going to run the magic shop, of course, and the magic bar. So, yeah, to me, a lot of work.
Yeah, but you know what? Tonight, as we record, Adrian mm-hmm. Brody's premiering on History in this new Houdini movie.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I want to check that out. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it as well. And I've been mm-hmm. thinking a lot about Houdini because, you know, this has been big news in magic, and they've been pushing this movie. And one of the things, you know, people are confused about with Houdini is, you know, why is it Houdini? Why is Houdini literally like the name brand of magic, you know, after almost 100 years? And, you know, I don't think there's a single person alive really who saw him perform and, you know, who really remembers it. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple, you know, but, yeah. But you know, there's barely any film of him. It's not like mm-hmm. he had a TV show. Why is Houdini the guy? And Houdini is a guy who did mm-hmm. have it all. He performed, he was out there, and everybody knew his name. But on the flip mm-hmm. side, he didn't necessarily market a lot of tricks, but he was, I mean, there he is. He's, you know, big in the SAM, and he's publishing he published magic magazines, and he was, he really did try to do, he was tried to be big in magic and big mm-hmm. as a magician. He tried to do both. So I say go for it, man. I don't see why you can't do it all.
That's cool. Yeah, definitely. That's what I want to do. I want to, like I said, on America's Got Talent, I want to live, eat, and dream magic.
nothing wrong with that. I think there are plenty of listeners who are right there with you.
Yep. That's all I want to do. As long as magic's involved, I want to be a part of it. Yep.
All right. Well, how about... it's probably about time to draw this to a close. So why don't we throw out a few of your addresses and stuff again, so that when people are in New York, or if they're around New York, if they're, you know, out there and go, I'm in New York. Why have I never been to this guy's shop? Throw out those addresses so they can find you.
Okay. It's the Rogue Productions Magic and Fun Shop. That's 85-08. Queens Boulevard, and that's Elmhurst, New York, 11373. And then the Rogue Magic Bar is at 95-25 Queens Boulevard, and that's Rego Park, New York, 11374.
And the magic shop, literally, I can walk in and there's going to be like a TV showing old Gordon Liu movies, and you're going to be demonstrating tricks.
Correct. Yes, me or one of my managers.
sounds like the coolest place in the world.
it's great, actually. It's great. Yeah, we have all kinds of tricks and stuff like that. Yeah.
And where are you going to be Friday night? Because we'll get
Saturday night.
Saturday night. All right. Better yet.
Lemby Lounge in Astoria. It's Lembi Lounge, bar and lounge. Be performing hopefully with Smoothie, actually, from America's Got Talent.
And that'll be the 6th.
11 p.m.
At 11 p.m.
Saturday, September 6th, 11 p.m. Yes, sir. Your one-hour show. The best thing about it, it's going to be free, actually.
Oh, well, there you go.
It is a free show.
Important bit of marketing you should throw out there first.
That's important, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, awesome. And seriously, keep us informed here at iTricks, man. When you get the shop renovated, send us some photos. When you get your website up, let us know. We'll put you officially on the list of friends of iTricks now. And
that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
So keep us, you know, let us know what's going on, and we'll keep all the iTricksters out there informed on what's going on with Rogue as you set out to conquer the magical mm-hmm. world.
All right. Definitely. Thank you, Michael.
Cool. Well, thank you for being on, and everybody, thank you for listening. This has been the iTricks Magic Week in Review. Until next week or next time, let's be honest, it might not be next week. I realize that. You realize that, but hey. Until next time, keep up on everything going on in the world of magic at itricks.com.